AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today on the air here on Sports Grid. Great to be with you as we close out 2021 on this Thursday and Friday. It's Fantasy Football Championship Week. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Matic. We have you covered here for the next 2 hours. We'll give you a full fantasy preview of the week ahead. There is no Thursday Night Football. Plenty of bowl games, though, of course, going on. And some news around the NBA and NFL as well. Davis, great to be with you here as we get ready to close out 2021. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, lots of news going around both leagues. Some of it good news, you know, guys returning from injuries. Guys, we got Lamar practicing with this ankle injury. We have loads and loads of guys returning from the COVID list in the NFL. We have some guys returning from the COVID list in the NBA, which I think is going to be dominating our show kind of the next 2 weeks, is going to be guys who are coming off of the COVID list and, you know, are they going to play? How much are they going to play? And, you know, also the situation as it continues to evolve in the NBA. I think we are pretty close, Craig, to the NBA changing their protocols on how long guys who have tested positive and are asymptomatic are. I don't know if it's going to happen today. Don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow, but I would feel pretty confident that that news from the NBA is going to be coming within the next week.
Yeah, after the game last night, Hawks guard Trae Young said that he didn't know 2/3 of the team that he was playing with last night. So, you know, those kind of comments usually lead to changes, and I'm seeing that happening around the NBA for sure. I would agree. Here are our headlines as we begin the show on this Thursday. In case you missed it last night, the Alamo Bowl, all Oklahoma yesterday. Bob Stoops stepping in last night to coach for Oklahoma. Oregon was in a similar situation, and Oklahoma ends up winning. By the way, Maryland, very impressive. One of their better seasons in a long time yesterday with a big win over Virginia Tech in the Pinstripe Bowl. LeBron James and Ja Morant going toe-to-toe right down to the wire. What an exciting game. The Grizzlies, though, end up beating the Lakers, and we'll hear from LeBron James a little bit later in the show on that. Kyrie Irving resumes practicing with the Brooklyn Nets so he can play in some road games. We'll see when that actually happens. And at 37 years old, Adrian Peterson was placed on season-ending IR. We thought Peterson's career was over 2 years ago and then last year and probably now again, but we'll see. I mean, some team could sign Peterson again next year if he's in shape, but it looks like his season is over. And also, Davis, maybe the most significant story today was on this Thursday. Ben Roethlisberger always speaks to the media once a week. Usually it is, I believe, Wednesday, but because they have a Monday Night Football game, he spoke today. He was asked whether or not this could be the final game for him playing at Heinz Field, and he said yes, that it is likely that this could be the final game, said he wouldn't speak in definitives, and, you know, these quarterbacks are sort of dramatic. You never know. He could come back and play for somebody next year, too. But a you know, outside of his first year in the NFL, Davis, and his last year in the NFL, I mean, he's pretty much been a fantasy starter in every league. And so as we get ready to bid farewell, I can only imagine what that must be like on Monday night being in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly some good years for Ben Roethlisberger, specifically when Antonio Brown was there. And Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, those Steelers teams were amongst the most pass-heavy teams in the NFL. They had loads of guys that we wanted on our teams in fantasy. I mean, to be honest, never a huge fan of Ben Roethlisberger, the person. And you are right, though. He loves the drama. Ben Roethlisberger is, I think, to expect him to come off the field in week 18 and announce his retirement, I think that's probably asking a little bit too much. Because it feels like, Craig, doesn't it feel like at least once a year we have a will he, won't he, will Ben Roethlisberger suit up for, you know, a Monday night football game against the Ravens, a Thursday night football game against the Browns or something like that. Remember, you know, we had Dennis Dixon used to be his backup. Charlie Batch used to be his backup. And it felt like once a year we would get those guys coming in a relief performance because Ben Roethlisberger's body, you know, couldn't quite do it. And it's sort of interesting, though. Ben Roethlisberger, I believe he's 39 years old. And Aaron Rodgers, about the same age. Aaron Rodgers is 36. Of course, Tom Brady is 44 years old. And I wonder if actually Roethlisberger is the oddity. If so many of these guys have gotten so good at taking care of their bodies, at training in the offseason, at, you know, retaining flexibility and things like that. I actually wonder if, you know, really generational great quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger or Drew Brees, if retiring before 40 is going to become abnormal. That's kind of the way it's trending to me.
Yeah, and look, he could, if he wanted to, be a backup for the next 5 years. If he wanted to continue on, there's no doubt. I mean, he could be the best backup quarterback in the NFL for the next 5 years if he chose. But who knows? He's made a ton of money, won Super Bowls. I was fortunate enough to actually be at the Super Bowl, the second Super Bowl that he won when Pittsburgh beat Arizona in Tampa. They actually were showing that game last night on television because John Madden was calling that game. So I was fortunate enough to be able to be at that game. So seen Ben Roethlisberger play in person several times and a Super Bowl. If this is indeed it, I got to feel like Pittsburgh's got a great shot to cover on Monday night, getting some points with Roethlisberger playing in his last game, but certainly we'll see. Okay, fantasy football continuing here on the show throughout. It is Friday. Of course, practice reports are coming out. We got the COVID protocols going on. So throughout the show, we'll keep you updated on everything happening in fantasy football. But coming up next, it's time for us to dive into the NBA and our fantasy standouts. As we mentioned, a huge game last night between the Lakers and Memphis Grizzlies that did not disappoint, coming right down to the end. So we got our fantasy standouts next. We'll also take a deep dive as to what it could look like with Trey Lance at quarterback this week for the 49ers. What does that mean for the skill position players, the running backs, the wide receivers on that team? And an update on Lamar Jackson as well. So stay on the grid, plenty more fantasy sports today as we're off and running here on this Thursday. We'll be right back in just a couple minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Late night watching in the NBA proving worthy of a fun night, of course, to go over everything that happened. And those of you playing on FanDuel last night, if you didn't play LeBron James or Ja Morant, you probably didn't make money. But I got to say, Davis, and we'll bring in our producer Brett Levy as well, tons of fun last night to see some of these games going down to the wire and some big performances, Davis, as well.
Tons of big performances. And, you know, I, Craig, I'm getting this sentiment, and maybe it's just the people that I follow on Twitter and the people who I'm in all these, you know, Slack groups and Discords and stuff with, that people are not, they're not really enjoying this NBA season. They're having trouble finding the joy in, you know, Skylar Mays getting 38 minutes for the Atlanta Hawks or having to pick up, you know, just total random guys on 10-day contracts. I have to say, I am having a blast. So I'm getting to watch all of the kids play for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, they got absolutely smoked last night, but we got to see, I mean, you know, just real deep on their bench. I'm enjoying that. And I've said this before on the show. It's not a novel idea. It's not my point. But to see some of these guys who basically would have been in the G League and then, you know, would have had to go get jobs at FedEx or whatever, like it is very cool for all of them to be getting their 10 games, their 5 games up in the NBA. That is the storyline that I am focusing on most with this NBA season.
All right, so let's get to our fantasy standouts from last night, and we'll hear from LeBron James coming up very shortly and Brett Levy. LeBron with 37, 13, 7 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks, and the Lakers lost because John Morant just went off again. 41 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. The Pistons, Hamidou Diallo, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. Terry Rozier had 35 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And Devin Booker had 38 points for the Phoenix Suns last night, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks. But no doubt the focus of last night, of course, was the showdown between the Lakers and Memphis Grizzlies and LeBron James. Even with the big game that he had last night, very complimentary into what he has seen from Ja Morant.
All right. Well, yeah, LeBron's been awesome this year, Craig. And we were very excited to watch that game. The fourth quarter last night, you know, you expect the Lakers to be able to come back from that. And, you know, hopefully they can hold on to a lead in the fourth quarter. Double digit comeback by Ja Morant. That is crazy. And we have LeBron ready now for you, Craig. So we can go to LeBron talking about that game last night.
Well, I mean, obviously, the more games you play, the more minutes you log. When you're a special talent, you will continue to get better. You understand how defenses play you. You'll understand how you can, you know, penetrate defenses, how you can keep defenses off balance. And, you know, when you shoot the ball as well as he did tonight from the perimeter, with his speed and his athleticism, it's going to be hard to contain a guy like that, because he can, when he's doing the whole 3 levels of scoring, you can't, there's nothing you can do. You know, he has you at his back.
As Brett mentioned, the accolades for LeBron just keep coming and coming. And Davis certainly, you know, Ja just basically was a one-man show there at the end of the game. And in the NBA these days, Davis, I guess that's what the fun part is that it's taking one-man shows to win games because so many other players and the teams aren't playing.
Yeah, I mean, not only do we have guys out with COVID right now, but there are just a relatively high number of injuries across, you know, the NBA right now. Lots of good teams have guys out. John Morant himself missed a bunch of time. Anthony Davis for the Lakers is out right now, so they continue to play those very small ball lineups. Luka Doncic is both injured and in the health and safety protocols for the Mavericks. So the remaining superstars have had this huge load. I mean, we saw this with the Bucks last night. Chris Middleton is dealing with a Achilles injury, I believe. So we have huge minutes, huge usage for Giannis right now. For the Boston Celtics, he didn't make our fantasy standouts, but I had to make sure this stat line got in there. So Jason Tatum not playing, Marcus Smart not playing for the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown attempted 36 field goal attempts. Now, I don't know what the NBA record is for field goal attempts in a 48-minute game, but I have a feeling that 36 field goal attempts and 1 for 13 from the three-point line, I have a feeling that both of those have to be close to all-time records. And Jaylen Brown only got 30 points on those 36 field goal attempts. Just unbelievable stuff from against, by the way, a shorthanded Clippers team. No Paul George, no Reggie Jackson. They started a bunch of their bench guys. Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard started that game, and the Celtics weren't able to get a win. But I mean, it's just every night there is a game like that. Just like, I've never seen anything like this before in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Kobe had a game or two where he took 40 shots, but you're right. Yeah, it's been a crazy start to the NBA season. All right, so let's get to our questions from Wednesday night's NBA, how this will help you in DFS and fantasy. Is Aaron Wiggins a must-own player in fantasy? That's our first question. Our second one is, what should we do with the Lakers? The Lakers are 1-5. Russell Westbrook is taking a ton of heat from what I'm seeing. And LeBron's been amazing, though, in that stretch. And the Chicago Bulls, boy, it's like dialing it back to the 90s almost, or even dialing it back to the Derrick Rose era. They are 22-10, first in the Central, and the Bucks also are playing good basketball. So, Brett, which of, of these questions you want to tackle?
Sure, I'll start with the Bulls. Craig, the Chicago Bulls are probably the most impressive team all year. Nikola Vucevic looks like he is returning to Orlando form. He's been unbelievable with Lonzo Ball out over this stretch. And look, they had DeMar DeRozan missing for a stretch. They were still finding ways to win basketball games. They were missing Zach LaVine, finding ways to win basketball games. Now they're without Lonzo Ball. So all their guys are playing well when they're on the court. They're getting healthier every day. They got Kobe White back. So I think the Bulls are in a good spot. But the Bucks, with their big three on the floor, Craig, have the best record in the NBA. Only three losses on the year with Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis all playing. So the Bucks are going to be on their tail all season. This will not be easy. And, you know, I think I would lean Bucks right now, but the Bulls are the most impressive team by far. Bucks probably win the Central, Craig.
Davis, I watched the post game last night with the Lakers, and just following social media, you would think that, you know, Russell Westbrook is going out like Ben Roethlisberger almost in a way, Davis. You know, missing layups, shots not going in. There's a 10-minute video I saw online of all the mistakes that he's made this season. And boy, that post-game interview, all he was doing was just texting the entire time when people were asking him questions. It was, I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, being on the other side of that. But what about the Lakers here?
I mean, if I was going to draw up the worst possible teammate for Russell Westbrook, I think LeBron James would honestly probably be number one, because he's a better player. LeBron needs the ball in his hands at this stage in his career to really impact the game. He has gotten better as a three-point shooter, but also you're sort of wasting LeBron's talents if you say, all right, you know, go stand in the corner and go shoot. Because LeBron's best position, you know, we've had this argument for LeBron for millions of years, it feels like, at this point, but his best position is being a point guard. And Russell Westbrook is kind of like a combination point guard center. I mean, when the Wizards went on that insane run, when Westbrook was their best player, he was basically playing center on offense. So it's very tempting to just bury Russell Westbrook, but this was an ill-advised team for the Lakers front office to put together in the first place. And I don't think Anthony Davis coming back is going to make that any easier.
Yeah, interesting drama going on in the NBA with the Los Angeles Lakers. Fun team to always discuss. Thanks again, Brett. We'll check in with you a little bit later in the show when you and Davis go through our DFS options for tonight. Coming up next, the big fantasy questions of the week surround the San Francisco 49ers. Who will play quarterback? Who is it running back? How will this be affected if there is a quarterback change? We'll try to answer those questions coming up for you next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of the more compelling figures in fantasy football this week is Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, who had probably the best run of his career for about 2 months, which came crashing down this past week. If, in case you missed it, Jimmy G hurt his thumb, and there's been some discrepancy as far as what the injury actually is. Is it a fracture? Is it a sprain? Yesterday, Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, tried to clarify where he is in terms of the injury.
To clear that up, the reason that was worded that way is because that's the way it was worded to me. He does have there's three types of sprains, and he has a grade three sprain. Since I got to give you guys, I guess, more information to clear up Ian and Adam's tweet. It is a grade three sprain. The reason they never mentioned to me a fracture is because that really didn't have much to do with it. When you on this third degree sprain that he has on his UCL ligament, when that is ripped up, it pulled off a little fleck of his bone. And so whatever, when there's a bone that has anything off of it, you can call it a fracture, you can call it a chip, you can call it something, but that really isn't what's keeping him out. It's the third degree sprain that he has. But because it's not moving and stuff, he doesn't need surgery, and he has a chance to play this week.
All right, Davis. Well, I feel like this is complicated this week. I don't think it's clear cut. I think the future is clear cut for the 49ers, but the present and what you want most in fantasy, I don't think is clear cut. Now, if you look at the numbers with Garoppolo and Trey Lance, you know, certainly, you know, Trey has not played a ton. He looked okay in the times that he did play. Looked a little overmatched. And look, let's be honest, Jimmy Garoppolo played fantastic, you know, almost for about 8 games until the 49ers got back into this thing. Davis, I don't know. I mean, maybe last week the injury had something to do with it. He said that it didn't, but who knows? I think if you can't feel your thumb, I think that has to factor somewhat into it. And his throws, Davis, looked like an injury may have been contributing to something. So we still don't know today what's going to happen. Garoppolo did not practice again, so signs are pointing toward Trey Lance. So I'd love your thoughts on sort of where you think things stand and what would be best for the talent around him this week.
I mean, they're all lying, right? Jimmy is lying, clearly, because Schefter already said he injured his thumb in the second quarter against the Titans. When did everything start to go sideways for the 49ers in that game against the Titans in the second quarter? Kyle Shanahan also lying through his teeth. If your quarterback has both a broken finger and a torn tendon on his throwing hand, he is not coming back and playing in 10 days, right? I mean, we saw what happened to Russell Wilson with his finger injury. We saw what happened to Taysom Hill with his finger injury. There was another quarterback who suffered a finger injury last week who I can't even remember. It feels like the season of the Burrow finger injuries for the, there we go. It was Burrow. And Burrow, by the way, they lost that game and he looked terrible in the game where he hurt his hand, right? So I don't know. Why are we expecting these quarterbacks who can't properly grip and aim the ball to play, especially in all matchups? Now, maybe Craig, if the Rams game was this week and the Texans game was next week, maybe they just shoot Jimmy up with Toradol and they say, we got to win this game. We don't think Trey Lance is ready to beat the Los Angeles Rams. But what better opportunity on their schedule than to sit here, see the Houston Texans? They're gigantic favorites. They are playing at home. I know now, I guess the complicating factor here is they did just beat, or the Texans did just beat the Chargers, but the 49ers are 12.5-point favorites here. They can get by in this game with Trey Lance, 18 rushes, 85 yards, one rushing touchdown, Debo doing his thing, Jeff Wilson Jr. doing his thing. I have not seen a report on Eli Mitchell up until this point. I'm assuming that he is still fighting through this knee injury because he's been limited in practice. So he's cleared the concussion protocol, still dealing with this knee injury. But, I mean, clearly for George Kittle, for Debo, for Eli, it would be better for Jimmy to be the quarterback because when Trey is in there, not only are they going to pass less, but Trey Lance is going to take away a lot of their touchdown equity around the goal line. So, and I look, you and I are both in this position with Debo. We really wish that this did not happen to Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and Jimmy spoke to the media yesterday and talked about how the injury affected him during the Titans game.
Hey, Jimmy, how difficult was it to play with that in the second half?
I mean, pretty difficult. If you can imagine not being able to use your thumb very much, just the feel of the ball that you normally feel, can't really grip it the same way and, you know, throw it the same way. But I felt like as the game went on, I kind of, you know, slowly started to adjust to it, and my throwing style actually changed a little bit just to compensate for it.
All right, so obviously Jimmy admitting that he wasn't at 100% in that game.
Why would Shanahan lie? Why would Shanahan lie if then Jimmy would come out there in the same presser and say he's fine?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here, but what I know is that why not try to give Trey Lance the best opportunity to not have to prepare for him? I guess that's the case. Also, I will say this. I don't think you're giving Houston enough credit. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to beat San Francisco, but it would not shock me to see them go to toe-to-toe with this team based on the way Mills has looked so much better the last few weeks. I just don't think the days of Houston, it's a different Houston team than it was in the first half of the season. I think they've gotten better at a lot of positions. They're not good. They're going to lose every game probably, but I could see this game being close. Anyway, Trey Lance, when he played, here are the numbers. Here are the stats here for the last time that he played. Look, Mitchell was just getting his feet under him, okay? This was really, I think if I'm not mistaken, this was the first rushing touchdown of the season for Deebo Samuel. This is when it began, and Shanahan's like, oh, okay, we can run. And Ayuk was still sort of in the doghouse here. So I don't know that you can really look at these numbers, Davis, and translate them and say, okay, this is exactly what you're going to get against Houston. But I'm sort of under the same feeling as you here in a little bit of a different way, is that a one-point win and a 17-point win are the same. So wouldn't San Francisco do everything possible to just win by one and call Vic Fangio and say, hey, like, how do you do this? How do you just run the clock out and not play and just win this game by a point? That is my big concern for this game coming up, owning Deebo. And even Jeff Wilson this week, if whether or not Mitchell plays, I guess that's a factor as to whether or not you would play Wilson.
Yeah. So in that original game that we just saw there, Trey Lance ran 16 times. Elijah Mitchell ran 9 times. Deebo had the one run. Juszczyk had a run. Trey Sermon got in there for one run and actually fumbled on that carry. And Trey Lance threw 29 times. So you do that math there real quick, and you see that basically the 49ers ran no plays on offense. They had 65 total offensive plays. It was very slow, very much methodical, trying. And by the way, again, if we really want to stretch our brains, the 49ers could have won that game. Lance got stonewalled on a 4th-and-1 rush at the goal line that would have, I can't remember if it would have tied the score. Yeah, it would have tied the score up at that time, which is, I mean, you know, I guess we don't think as highly about the Cardinals right now, but the Cardinals were, you know, one of the best, probably the best team in the NFL back when these two teams played in October. So, and I've been bullish on Lance this entire time. I've been begging the 49ers to put him in there anyway. But I would say of all the storylines we have coming out this week, I do think that Lance is like the most interesting one.
Oh yeah, no doubt. And so many people got to this point because of flyers like Wilson and because of players like Deebo Samuel. I mean, if you had Deebo Samuel, you drafted him so low with respect to everyone else that you probably had a good season. Like, you find me a team that had Deebo Samuel that had a terrible fantasy season. I don't know that you can. Everything else must have gone wrong for them. Okay, so over to the Baltimore Ravens. Today, Tyler Huntley activated off the COVID list. We're still waiting to find out if Lamar Jackson is going to get a full practice in today. Yesterday, he was limited, and John Harbaugh is hopeful that Lamar will play this week.
As far as the rest of it, we'll go through the week, see how we progress, and I'm really hopeful. I mean, I told you, like I said last week, I'm hopeful for all of our quarterbacks. Of course, you know, starting with Lamar, he's a starting quarterback. He's our guy, and I really want to see him out there on Sunday. I know the fans do. I know most of all Lamar does. So he's going to do everything he can to be out there, and, you know, you can't make a promise because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. That's not for us to know. So I'm hopeful. And we'll also, you know, I know Tyler will be ready to go. He'll be back here, should be back in here tomorrow. And, of course, Josh is also practicing today as well. And Chris Trevler's practicing. He's back from COVID. So we've got some guys back, and that's a benefit to us.
Season's on the line here, Davis. So Lamar Jackson, I think, is going to play. And even if he's not 100%, you know, Harbaugh's all about winning, and I think he's going to play. I want you to take a look real quick here at some quarterbacks that, regardless of Lamar's status, if you know he's starting, you'd play over. And these are probably slam dunks, I guess. Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Mac Jones. If you're in this position and you're choosing between Lamar and these quarterbacks, I'm assuming you would start Lamar Jackson. How much deeper can we go, though? Like, I guess a guy like Tannehill, what would you do? You know, where on Daily Roto would you have Lamar ranked going into this week?
So I have Lamar projected like he's just good to go. And they, of course, you know, they have the matchup this week against the Rams that I think is going to give them a lot of trouble. But you're right, their season is pretty much on the line. I will say this, my hot take would be, you made it to the championship game streaming quarterbacks, you have Lamar there. I would go with Trey Lance against the Houston Texans over Lamar, because I think Lamar can come out here and just get stonewalled, right, and get like 5 or 6 or whatever. I think Lance against the Texans, he's getting you 15. You're feeling good about getting 15.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm hopeful. If that's the case, maybe there are some weapons that he's...
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to...
Get your bag!
2 ways to peel for a chance to...
Get your bag!
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to...
Get your bag!
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
He's utilizing this week against the Houston Texans. I was not impressed with Justin Herbert last week against those same Houston Texans. That's my concern. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Happy Thursday to you. We've got bowl games going on in college football. We'll have it covered for you coming up on In Game Live. Of course, Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast, Carver in on that show later today. Happy New Year to everybody watching for sure. Some people have fallen out of the fantasy football playoff contention ranks, Davis. And so naturally, it's time to take a look at some of the Dynasty League ranks, as we'll do, you know, somewhat throughout the fall and the summer, no doubt. And crazy for me to see rankings at this point that have Trevor Lawrence so far down in terms of the future. My gosh, I thought Trevor Lawrence was the number one quarterback coming out of the draft. I know that certainly it has not looked that way. And it was interesting for me to see some really smart people in the NFL critical of Lawrence this past week, not of the coaching staff, but critical of Lawrence for spiking that ball on third down on the goal line when there was no time left. So I sort of understand where it's coming from, but I'm still going to be bullish on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, these rankings that we're going to be talking about, Craig, I play in a bunch of super flex dynasty leagues. I think, and I've said this before on the show, but like, I think that's the right way to play dynasty because it's no fun. Oh, I have Lamar Jackson. I have Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's no fun to not be able to trade those guys for anything. It also makes the rookie drafts way more interesting. Like this offseason, you had to say, okay, well, Trevor Lawrence or Ja'Marr Chase? Do I like Justin Fields or Kyle Pitts? Do I like Najee Harris or Mac Jones? Which feels like it's crazy, but the quarterback points are so important, right? You certainly do not want to be starting, you know, Nyheim Hines in your flex when your opponent has Mac Jones in the flex, who is like, you know, the 27th best fantasy quarterback, but is still going to be way better than anyone else you're putting in that super flex position. So this is how I have these five guys ranked after their first 15 games. I have Trey Lance first, and I bet you're going to raise your eyebrow at that one, so it's pretty clear why this is. When Trey Lance is going to start, he is going to run the air out of the ball. That is just what he is going to do. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on a different team next year, and he is the only one that's shown a fantasy ceiling. I have Mac Jones number 2. Don't think he has any fantasy ceiling at all. He is going to be about as game manager of a game manager quarterback as you're going to find in the NFL. But he's starting for the next 10 years for the New England Patriots. I feel pretty good about that. The one that and this was where I debated with myself the most, Fields versus Lawrence. You could certainly make the argument that Lawrence has run a little bit. He's had more games with over 20 yards rushing than games without 20 yards rushing. However, Fields is certainly the more explosive, the more dynamic rusher, and both of them have a coaching disadvantage, right? We don't know who Trevor Lawrence's coach is going to be next year. We don't know who Justin Fields' coach is going to be next year, but they both been bad as rookies, and I'm giving both of them a little bit of a pass. You know, I don't think either of them are going the way of Josh Rosen, where they're going to be, you know, top picks and then end up being backups. But certainly I have some doubt. I have more doubt on Fields' long-term viability of being an NFL quarterback. I do think Lawrence will hang around for a while, but Fields' chances of being a dynamic difference maker in fantasy, I think, are much higher because of the rushing. And then, of course, Zach Wilson, number five. I mean, he just has been... I guess he did rush for the touchdown last week, to be fair to him. But, I mean, he has just missed layup throws. He has looked by far, I think, the worst of these five guys.
Yeah, I probably would have Davis Mills five, you know, based on what I've seen.
You know what? Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, no, I think I would. Probably my change up for me is I would agree on Trey Lance. I think I'd have Lawrence two, Fields three, and Mac Jones based on ceiling. But if you're basing it on floor and average, yeah, I mean, I think that these are there. But I have watched enough of Trevor Lawrence at Clemson to just, I can't give up on this situation. He landed in the absolute worst scenario he could have landed in Jacksonville. Again, some really crazy decisions. He looked super tentative over the last couple of months, just not throwing down the field, didn't want to throw picks. I guess maybe the offensive coordinator told him, don't throw picks. We'd rather not have touchdowns and not have picks. But you're right. It's going to be coaching dependent for Jacksonville. I think that's going to be critical there. Speaking of critical questions, here are a few surrounding these. Who will be Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence's new coaches? We know that Jacksonville definitely will have one, and I'm assuming Matt Nagy will be gone. And so the Bears will have a new signal caller, essentially, there, somebody telling Fields what the plays are. Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, will either of them go number one overall? I think you and I both know, Davis, the answer to that is yes. By the time the combine starts, someone's going to take a quarterback number one. Corral probably go number two, or Pickett will go number two. And then how many current NFL quarterbacks retire? I think that's a really interesting question too, because at this point, Roethlisberger seems to be pretty crystal clear at this point. But beyond that, there's questions surrounding everyone. Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers. We assume Tom Brady, who said several times he's going to play another season, that he is going to come back too. And we lost two really solid fantasy quarterbacks for a decade last year in Breeze and in Rivers. And so I wonder if at some point we find that out again this year.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think we are going to say goodbye to Big Ben. We also have a couple other situations. What if the Giants bail on Daniel Jones, right? They've seen all that Daniel Jones has to offer. They decide that they are not interested. The Washington football team does not really have a quarterback. They have Taylor Heinicke. I believe Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be 39 years old. He's dealing with that hip injury. Is Russell Wilson going to be traded? Is there going to be a quarterback opening in Seattle? What are the Carolina Panthers going to do at quarterback? You know, are they going to try and get Matt Corral? Are they going to try and get Malik Willis? Malik Willis, by the way, his name's not on any of these graphics, but I think he's going to kind of be like Trey Lance, where he is not a very accurate passer, has a lot of work to do as a passer, but is an incredibly good rusher. You know, we have the Denver Broncos who need a quarterback. We have maybe the Houston Texans go with Davis Mills, or maybe they decide Davis Mills is a really good backup quarterback, but we want to try and find a difference maker. The Jets probably run it back with Zach Wilson. I'd say it's like 95% probability they just run it back with Zach Wilson, but maybe they're ready to make a change already. I mean, I'm just going through all of these teams. I think like 12 teams could have a new quarterback theoretically next year, Craig, which is like that because and Aaron Rodgers said yesterday to the media, he said he is pondering retirement. He said he's not going to draw it out, but he said he is at least thinking about it, which is like, I don't think that's going to happen. But even if you put that in the air, I mean, like we could have like a total musical chairs year at quarterback where like half the league has a different starting quarterback than the guy who quarterbacked week 18 for them.
Yeah, I think with Rodgers, it's the most interesting because a part of you would think, and I know that all of the announcers have said this, that like, what in the world would this guy be doing leaving Green Bay? Like, he is in the absolute best situation possible, you know, sort of controls the team without controlling the team. I know that there's been some difficulty as far as getting him weapons there, but any other situation, even if he's able to handpick the coach, Davis, like let's say it was Denver or let's say it was the Raiders, you know, like the talent is not going to be there like it is in Green Bay on both sides of the football. So to me, that's the most interesting one. But Davis, I guess from his perspective, from Rodgers' perspective, and I'll never forget this, when Tom Brady left New England and signed with Tampa Bay, there was not unanimous, oh, this is going to be great. He's going to be awesome. It was not unanimous. It was like, what is he doing? I don't know. This may not be so good. Yeah, he's got a couple receivers, but it's the Buccaneers. Like, the Buccaneers have had a decade of nothing. So Rodgers, I think, in the world of, you know, athletes looking at the other great athlete, the Jeter and the A-Rod and the Manning and the Brady, I think Rodgers is looking at Brady's situation and saying, huh, well, he was able to go there and win a Super Bowl, switch teams, change the narrative. Why can't I do the same thing?
I actually think that is a really good point. And I don't think Rodgers, I guess it's hard to tell how much he values the concept of like being a one team quarterback. You know, because Favre didn't do that, right? I mean, Rodgers has been linked to Favre for his entire career. And, you know, that is, I suppose that is sort of interesting. Maybe to stick it to Brett Favre, you know, one last time, they would theoretically, you know, kind of want to, Rodgers would be like, well, I'm just going to stay in Green Bay forever. I'm going to retire in Green Bay. And, you know, Favre never did that. But I think that as the Packers keep winning, it becomes less and less likely that Rodgers retires or leaves or does anything like that. You know, and if they make the NFC Conference Championship game, the NFC Conference Championship game, I think that makes it even more difficult for Rodgers to want to leave, because, you know, why would he leave? And he said some complimentary things about the guys in the front office. He said that he has a good relationship with LaFleur. So we will definitely see. I think that we could see huge value changes for Fields and Lawrence, though, if Kellen Moore is hired to be the head coach of the Jaguars, or if Kellen Moore is hired to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Those two situations, I think, because, I mean, look what he did with Dak. You know, Dak was a game manager, ball control style quarterback, and Kellen Moore started calling the plays, and now Dak's an MVP candidate. Like, he totally flipped that Cowboys offense on his head.
Yeah, Byron Leftwich is the name that keeps coming up for Jacksonville, played there. And yeah, very hard to tell what Leftwich's impact is when you have Tom Brady there. Like, right. It's a very tough call. It would be a great story, but the Jaguars should be tired of stories and start winning and not worrying about that kind of homecoming type stuff. I mean, it's got to be enough of that for sure. And then, you know, of course, I mean, it's funny that we spend so much time talking about Watson, but Davis, doesn't that change a dynamic if Watson is on any NFL team starting next season? Like, I mean, we're going to completely forget about this guy, but in the offseason, we're going to be right back here again, because eventually this is going to get settled one way or the other, and he could be suspended, he could be in jail. I mean, who the heck knows? But I would guess in 2022, he's going to be playing at least, what, like a third of a season in the NFL next year, no?
No, I mean, I don't think so. The entire time, my position has been that his case is going to go to the grand jury in January or February, and he is going to... If all of the evidence that has been presented to the public is presented in court, is found to be true, you know, it's corroborated, there is more than circumstantial evidence, I do not think Deshaun Watson, I said the entire time he wasn't going to play in 2021. I was proven correct about that. I said, and I don't think he's going to play in 2022 either, because the reason why he didn't play in 2021 was the civil case has been pending. Well, it's not one of those things that's gone away, you know, like if this got settled, if somehow this wasn't being presented to a grand jury, then maybe, but if it's presented to a grand jury, it does not sound particularly favorable for Watson. And so I don't think he's playing next year either, which is, I mean, it's a crazy development in the NFL, but I feel as if Watson's name has been removed from the hat.
Could very well be going into next year for sure. For my money, I don't know who ends up with Las Vegas, but I think the Raiders go all in next year on a great quarterback, great receiver. I think that, you know, that market is ready to see them start winning and turn the page on probably what was a disastrous year. And by the way, they were over 500 in a disastrous year with the coach and, of course, the player. All right, we'll take a quick timeout here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming up next, it's a happy birthday for two of the greatest of all time.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
As we break in the new year here on Sports Grid, your two new follows on Twitter should be these two Twitter handles, at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Let you know about our network. We're on the air 24 hours a day, about 18 hours live. And on those two Twitter spots, at Sports Grid and Sports Grid TV, you can get the latest news, notes, and information from all of our shows. Learn more about some of the things we're talking about, picks against the spread, fantasy content, and everything else that's on Twitter at Sports Grid and Sports Grid TV. So, Davis, today is a happy birthday. Now, here on this show, I know that you weren't part of this a couple of years ago, but we were basically had no live games. We used to do fantasy birthdays every single day. But today is LeBron James and Tiger Woods' birthday, and two of the greatest athletes of all time born on the same day.
Yeah, two of the best ever. Always interesting when we get these little bits of synchronicity. Always been a huge LeBron James fan. Weirdly enough, I mean, I like Tiger Woods. I feel positive about him in general, but never been as big of a Tiger Woods fan. I think because when I really started watching golf, it was in the post back injury, divorce, rehab Tiger Woods phase. So I've never watched a ton of live golf when Tiger is, you know, the greatest. Like my lasting memory of Tiger when I'm thinking about him 20, 30 years from now, it's not going to be the fist pump and the, oh, is as good as it gets, you know, the putt on 16 at TPC. It's going to be winning the 2019 Masters. That will be, that will always be my long-term memory. But of course, happy birthday to LeBron and to Tiger Woods. And just always cool when some of the greatest guys ever were born on the same day.
Yeah. And for me, I go back when both of these guys were first coming up. So obviously this was really cool. And to see Tiger Woods' son play golf is the next great thing. And maybe LeBron James in the NBA as well. I know that to me, I still think will be the biggest story in sports whenever that happens. If these two are on the same team in the NBA coming up, I think it's 2 years from now. All right. That'll do it for our first hour of the show. We've got plenty more to come. 1 o'clock on the East, Alex with the update, and then we'll be back for hour two. Break.
Sports happens every day, and we give you expert insights and information on gaming, odds, and more.
Every day.
You see a trend?